We're going to be in Ecclesiastes, so stand with me if you would, and we'll find our text, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Our guest this morning, just so you know, we are in Sunday school going through the book of Ecclesiastes, so we've made it all the way to chapter 12. It only took us 2 years to get there. Believe it or not, we've been almost 2 years here now. Isn't that crazy? Miss Martha, 2 years. Time flies. And so we'll be finishing, I would say, in the next few weeks, God willing, we'll be finishing the book of Ecclesiastes. And I do believe that I have the Lord's leadership on what He would have us to teach next through. And so you pray with me about that as we seek to confirm from the Lord that He'd have us to go through the book of 1 Peter. So you pray with me about that. If you want to read through the book of 1 Peter a few times just to prepare yourself for that great book as we study. It'll be a few weeks before we get there, but just so you know, God willing, after we finish Ecclesiastes, we will be going into the epistle of Peter, 1 Peter. But not yet. Verse number 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator." If you just stopped right there, it's almost a good enough encouragement, isn't it? We get distracted, don't we? So the things of this life take our attention, and we're not thinking about our Creator. We're thinking a lot more about the creation and the things around us and the felt needs that we have, the emotions that we have that we're going through, but not our Creator. So a good encouragement. Remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves, the grinders cease because they are few, those that look out of the window be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." This morning, we're going to be talking about this very important principle. You are valuable. You are valuable. So let's pray. Father, we pray your blessings on the lesson. I pray that you'd help us to receive from you just what you'd have us to receive: encouragement, conviction of sin, perhaps a touch in our life, Lord, for those that need to hear from you, which is all of us. I pray that you would speak to us in that special and specific way. And we'll give you glory, Lord. We will give you glory. And you deserve it. We love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. My dad, Brother Jackson, I thought you were coming up here to preach with me. My dad, in 1977, bought a brand new Firebird. Brand new. It was gold, you know, had that metallic look to it. And I remember that thing. And of course, in 1977, I wasn't even born yet. But that's when he bought it, brand new. But he kept it, of course, through the years, and he drove that thing everywhere. I remember as a young kid riding around in the back seat. It was like those bucket seats in the back. You just sort of, as a little one, you just sort of fall into that seat, and you have your own little, you know, space. The seat comes up around you on both sides. It was kind of a neat, you know, feeling. I remember that. And my dad would drive it around, and sometimes he would go fast, and we would say, "Dad, go faster, go fast," you know. And of course, we don't understand the safety features or danger of any of that. We just want to go fast. That feeling whenever he would push on the what's that called when you go faster? The yeah. So and it pushes your back against that back seat, and you're just accelerating, and it's just exhilarating. It was good. I loved that. Then I also remember when it broke down, and it sat in Grandpa's front yard, or the side yard. Grandpa had a big farm, and so he had the pasture while the horses were, and in the back, you know, and the neighbors were like a quarter a mile away on both sides. You remember, you don't have that in Phoenix, but in the Midwest, in Oklahoma, that's what, you know, what we had. And Dad's car, I remember, it was out on the side of the house, and he parked it there because it was broke down. And he had us kids, and he was just trying to keep food on the table, so he didn't have the money to get it fixed, but there's no way he's getting rid of it. You know, so it just sat there. And I remember as I grew and my legs grew a little bit longer, that I would get in that car, I would open it up, and then I would sit in the driver's seat in that little steering wheel. It was like a race car. And I would pretend like I'm driving. And if Dad knew what I was doing, he'd be upset. But, you know, because I'd sneak the key to it. Because, I mean, it wouldn't start. Battery's completely dead. But I would start it, act like I'm starting it up. I'd make the noises with my mouth, you know, and I'd push the gears and push the accelerator and pretend like I'm driving. I remember that. I did that for a long time. You know, I think sometimes we get to that point in life when we feel a little bit like that broken down car, where we had our day and we ran and we had those moments when we felt like we were flying. And in those days, life was good. And we remember those days. We have those great memories. But then we get to those years when it feels like we're more parked in the side of the house rather than out on the road. And things are broken down. The tires get flat. And you try to turn it over, but the starter doesn't always go. You understand what I mean? You're like, man, I'm trying to get this thing going, but it's kind of putting along. It's not moving as fast as it used to move. I think what ends up happening is people get to that phase of life, and what ends up happening is they feel that they don't have much worth. They just feel worthless. And when you start to feel worthless like that, you start to feel that you have no more purpose in life. And you had your time. You had your time when you felt there was purpose. And you had that time when you felt that there was worth. But then the years are past. And now we're in a phase of life when it feels more like we're just a relic. A memory of what used to be. And broken down. And more in the way than having a reason to exist. You might not feel that way this morning, but I am here to tell you that there are people who do feel that way. They get to the age when things don't work like they used to work, and what replaces the joy of God is discouragement and purposelessness and weariness. And God, this morning, doesn't want you to feel that way. Do you know why God doesn't want you to feel that way? Because it's not true. It's not true that you don't have value. It's not true that you don't have purpose. It's not true that you're worthless. The devil wants you to think that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not true. It's a lie. And I'm thankful that as we go through the scriptures, God gives us encouragements like this. You know, it's amazing to me as we just study through and we're just getting to the next passage, how it could be that the timing of it is what's amazing. That God had a message for you just in time, where you're starting to feel discouraged in your life. And you're starting to wonder, like what Solomon is pointing out here, many people get to that phase. And by the way, can I say that it's not always an age? It's not always a chapter in life when you hit a certain age and you lose certain abilities. It could be a season where spiritually the devil presses and puts that stress on you and discourages your thinking and mind to make you feel as though that there's no value in your life anymore. There's no purpose. And why do you even exist? And he wants you to have that discouragement because he wants you to be on the sideline. He wants you to be to be unused of the Lord. And so Solomon has great encouragement for us this morning. So take a look at it with me if you would. Look at verse 1 again. It says, Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So this is a really interesting and powerful way to start this, this thought that Solomon is dealing with about the approach to the end of life. He says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I think there's sort of a double meaning here. I think first of all, there's an encouragement for young people here. So that in life, then we don't start living life and forget God. Because what ends up happening when you're young is there's so many things to do. There's so many options. There's so many things that can distract us and get our attention. Well, I can be involved with this and I can be involved with this and have all these things that take our attention. And God says, no, don't allow the things of this life and the things that are attractive to you. And because you're young and you have that ability that maybe when you're older, you won't have that ability anymore. So you better, take the advantage of that youth and use your time to satisfy the pleasures of this life in this world. God says, no. In this life, what you need to do is remember the Creator. Amen. Remember Him. The implication there is to rely on Him. Not to rely on yourself, but to remember or to rely on Him. To acknowledge Him. That He's there. I took a trip with a young man. His name's Alex. And he turned 12 years old. He doesn't have a dad and he doesn't have a mom. This was in Nebraska. And so I had been his pastor since he was a little kid. And growing up, I became an influence much like a dad pastor, but also a dad in his life. And I understood I wasn't his dad. He knew I wasn't his dad, but there was a great influence there that way. And so I remember I took him on a father-son trip. And on that trip, Alex, a very quiet young man. Some young people are not quiet. Like, there's a few in our church who are not quiet. I won't name them. One of them's in my family. Two of them are in my family. Actually, most of my kids are not quiet. But anyway, Alex, very quiet. And whenever we got on the road, we drove 5 hours to a place south Missouri, Branson. And it was 5 hours from Nebraska where we lived. And so we're on the road. And my thoughts were on the ministry, on sermons, and on all these things. And we had been on the road for 2 hours before I realized we'd never even talked to each other yet. Alex wasn't sitting over there like, oh, I wonder why Pastor's mad at me. He wasn't thinking that. I think that he appreciated that we didn't talk. I mean, he just liked being together. It didn't matter to him if we talked. Now, girls aren't like that. You don't talk for 2 hours, you definitely have a problem, you don't talk for 5 minutes. Usually, there's a problem. But, we're on that road. Listen, while we were on the road, it was so quiet. It was almost like I even forgot that Alex was there. In life, we can do that with God. He's there, but we live our life and we don't acknowledge that He's there. Or like our text says, we don't remember that He's there. So we have to do that on purpose. It's almost like he's starting this off saying, you know what we tend to do? We tend to live this life and think wrong. We tend to live this life and think the feelings of our heart rather than to acknowledge God and think His thoughts, to have the mind of Christ. And so we need to on purpose remember the Lord. We need to on purpose every day, God, I know You're there and I need You today. God, I know You're there and I need You today. Just did a Bible study yesterday with somebody who... And I'll share testimony about this later, but a few weeks ago they were saved, asked the Lord to save them. Just such a cool story, and I can't wait to share more with you about that. But in talking to them about salvation and once you're saved, what happens? What do you do when you get away from God? Well, the Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, right? He's not talking about salvation, He's talking about fellowship. And so when you get away from God, you can get right with God. You just ask Him to forgive you. You seek Him through repentance. And you acknowledge, I'm sinful and I want to be right with You. And right then, He's faithful. He'll forgive you. And fellowship is restored. My question in the Bible study yesterday was this. So if I sin at 5 o'clock, how long do I have to wait before I can get right with God? Do I have to wait an hour? Do I have to wait 2 hours? Really, you need to just suffer for about 3 hours before you can get right with God. Is that what 1 John 1:9 means? No. If you sin at 5 o'clock, you can be right with God before 5:01. You don't have to wait. Right. Right. You don't have to suffer for a time. God wants to fellowship with you. It's not a problem that God has with us. It's a problem we have, that we don't remember Him. Amen. We live this life and we forget the Lord. None of this was in my notes, but I got fired up right there. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. Now let's go on. While the evil days come not, this is while you're in youth, nor the years draw nigh. So he's talking about in your youth, there are certain seasons and times and abilities that you have. As the years go on, you'll have less of that ability. You'll also have less time. Because the older you get, the closer to leaving this life you get. And that's what he's talking about. Look at the last part of verse 1. He says, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Why would somebody say, I have no pleasure? Why? Because we'll hit a phase in life when we wake up in the morning and we're not thinking, oh man, I'm excited about the day. No. There's going to come a day when you're going to wake up and you're going, oh man, my back hurts. You know? And so the pleasures of life, the older we get, will not as much be there. And that's what he's talking about. Look at verse 2. Now, I love this verse. In fact, this is a key. We're going to come back to this at the end of the lesson. There is a principle here I want to show you. It's so powerful. Verse 2. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Let's talk about this for a minute. So he said the sun, and then he said the light, the moon, the stars. Now, most of what he said right there are things in this life, nature of this world that produces light. The sun produces light, right? He said the moon, that produces light in the evening. Now, we know that the source of the moon's light is the sun, but it is a source of light. Then the stars are a source of light. What are clouds? Clouds are the things that come and they dim the light. But it's all about the light. You know what's interesting about that verse 2 is that he pointed out things in nature that produce or dim the light. But then there's one thing that he pointed out that isn't in nature. It's the second thing he said. Did you see it? He said the sun. And then he said, what was the second thing in verse 2? Can you see it? What is it? He just said the light. That's not something produced by nature. And one writer pointed it out that the light that he's referring to there is a light that comes from God. Amen. So you have the sun, all of it comes from God, but this specifically is a light that comes from God. So that there is, watch, there is a light in life, and light represents life, that comes just from nature. When we're youthful and we're young, there's a kind of energy there. Like the sun and the brightness of the stars or the moon. And so you would look at a young person and say, man, I wish I could bottle up that energy, take a little bit of it home. I don't think you do. Because I think if we had even a snippet of the energy of some of these kids, we would have a heart attack. You know? But we say things like that. And what we're saying is when you're young, you have all that energy. What are we saying? You have light and just light in life. But there's two kinds of light. There's a light in nature that's just physical. A light of just life. But then there's another kind of light that only comes from God. And did you know that the light that comes from God is not related to the nature of your body? The feeling of your status, of your physical status? So there's light of feeling well. And then there's light of spirit in us where God gives us a light. And what ends up happening is the clouds come. Watch. The clouds come and they start to dim that light in this life so that we lose function. And we're going to talk about that beginning in verse 3. But we lose certain functions in this life. We lose certain abilities because of the age that is stacking on. And so there's health issues or there's problems that come with age. But here's what ends up happening to people as they get older. And maybe you can relate to this. That as the light of just life dims, the light of the spirit dims also. So as there's a depression of our physical abilities, there is also a depression of our spirit. This is what Solomon's pointing out. This is a tendency that people have. By the way, can I tell you that this is not something that should happen? This is not something that we should allow in our spirit as our body gets older, that our spirit dims? That shouldn't happen. It often does. But we need to be equipped so that we can be what God wants us to be despite the dimming of the light of our physical abilities. Now let's look at verse number 3. We're going to point a few of them out. And we'll do that simply because Solomon did. In the days, verse 3, it says, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. So we'll just go through this one at a time. The keepers of the house trembling, what he's talking about is when we get to the age when our hands are shaky. And that happens. He goes on and he says, and the strong men shall bow themselves. This would refer to somebody who used to have a good stature and a good height. But as the years go, then we begin to bow. And our back causes problems. And there's sort of an arch there. That's what he's referring to. He goes on. And the grinders cease because they are few. The grinders is talking about our teeth. And he's saying as we get older, what ends up happening is we have less teeth. And then he says next in verse 3, and those that look out of the window be darkened. This is when we start to lose our sight. And we can't see as well as we used to be able to see. I'm definitely there. He goes on in verse 4. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. He's referring again back to the teeth, so that there'll be a day when we don't have as many teeth and our lips cave in a little bit there. That's what he's talking about, the doors being shut. Next he goes on. He shall rise up at the voice of the bird. What's he saying there? Getting up early in the morning. Why do we get up early in the morning? Well, sometimes it's not because we like the morning, it's because we can't sleep. Amen. We're just up early and we hear those birds. He goes on, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. This is our ability to hear music. Our hearing isn't as well as it used to be. He goes on, verse number 5. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, fear shall be in the way. He's talking about the fear that often is associated to when we get older. We just get afraid. Various things, you know. Sometimes, listen. When I get on the road in Phoenix, I'm afraid. Sometimes, but I can imagine that the older you get, the more nervous you are just to drive. And I think this is the kind of fear. Listen, when the older you get, the more afraid you are just to get out. Why? Because of all of the different things that could happen. You know, you could fall, you could have some sort of an accident, and then who would be there to help? And these are the types of fears that he's talking about. Let's go on in verse 5. He says, the almond tree shall flourish. The almond tree, when it flourishes, when it opens up, it produces a white, sort of flower. And so he's talking about the whiteness of our hair or the grayness of our hair. See? Let's go on. He says, the grasshopper shall be a burden. The desire shall fail. The grasshopper being a burden, he's talking about a grasshopper who can't jump anymore. Now, when a grasshopper, came into this world, the design was that it would be able to jump. And it did that, had its spring. But then there'll be a day when that grasshopper lost its spring and it can't jump anymore. It's like it's dragging its leg around. And the grasshopper is, I'm supposed to be jumping, and now I'm dragging this silly leg around. You see? And where does that lead? The last phrase here, where there'll be mourners. He's saying we have approached all of these, what the world would say and what we would say physically is failures of our body. Our body is failing us. And it leads us all the way to the day when there are mourners. What's that? Mourners in the streets. That's the day of our funeral. It's the day when it's all over for us in this life. He goes on, look what he says next. Because this verse 6 and 7 bring us back to verse number 2. He says in verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, the wheel be broken at the cistern. So he's talking about light that is in the bowl. The cord or the gold cord that holds the bowl, and the bowl is what has the light. And so when the cord is broken, what he's saying is the light is no longer there. So literally verse 6, the light being put out is when we are no longer in this life. So remember verse 2, we talked about the sun and the moon and the stars. This is the light of this life, you see. And this is a day that's going to come. By the way, is this not why we're here? That we might tell people that this day is coming? And what we need is to be prepared for the day when our soul leaves this body. Yes. It could be today for anyone. And we don't know when our last breath will be taken. But we do know this, there will be a day when we will all leave this life and the light of life will be put out for us. And then he talks about the cistern. This is the water. So light represents life and water represents life. And so when the cistern, let's look at verse number 6 again, the last part, or in the middle of it. He says, the pitcher's broken, or the wheel is broken that draws the cistern. What he's talking about is when this life is over and you don't have the ability to hold that water anymore because the body is broken. And so the life then is over. Verse 7, he is referencing back to Genesis chapter 2 when God created Adam from the dust of the earth. So then, verse 7, shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Remember, it was God who took the dust and created man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so God created our life. He created our body, and our body will go back to the earth, and our soul will go back to eternity or go back to the one who created it. You see, in the hands of the Lord. And what ends up happening, I'm just going to come down here because I want you to know this is personal to me too, for you, okay? And for all of us. What ends up happening is as we live this life, whether you're a young person or you're not a young person, we understand that he's specifically talking about what tends to happen as we get older. Is what happens when we get older, the light begins to dim because the clouds show up. Verse 2. The clouds of, well, I don't have the ability I used to have. I can't do the same things I used to do. That's the clouds that we can't avoid as we get older. But what comes along with that is the dimness of our spirit so that we become discouraged. And here's what ends up happening, and I'm not step on any one of your toes, although I might. I'm not meaning to specifically. But what ends up happening in older folks, as the dimming of life happens, is there's a dimming of the spirit so that they become grumpy. Older folks can become grumpy. Why are they grumpy? Because the light of their life is dimming and they're seeing it and it's making them discouraged. And so with that discouragement comes a dimming of the spirit so that we're grumpy, we're sad. Discouragement leads to extreme sadness and can lead us to despair. You know, I read this statistic, it's been years ago, and so I'm going to say it to you, although I don't have a reference to, I can't tell you where to find this statistic. But it was interesting to me that one of the highest rates of suicide is in elderly folks. And likely it would be the case because of what we're talking about this morning. The dimming of the light of the Spirit, where folks become discouraged. When I was in high school, we started to save money to go to Israel for a senior trip. Now, can you imagine a better senior trip than going to Israel? I mean, it does not get better than that. And we saved for 2.5 years and still didn't quite have enough, had to get some extra help from mom and dad. But anyway, we were able to go to Israel, myself and three others in my senior class. I was in a Christian school, so we had a small school. And we took that trip to Israel. And it was the first time I'd ever been at an airport. It was the first time I'd ever been on a plane, so I had a high anxiety being in an airport. Can you relate to that, going to an airport? You might even have been there a lot, still get anxiety. All the hustle and bustle, and you're like, do I have everything? Do I have my boarding pass? Do I, you know? Well, for us, we needed to have a passport because we're leaving the country, and we had everything, you know, that we needed, but one of the young ladies in our group had her passport in her hand as we were going through the airport, and she dropped it. And we did not know where her passport was. We were in New York City. And we are at JFK. We haven't even left the country yet. And we're looking around for this passport. We're wondering what's going to happen. Are you even going? We've been saving for almost 3 years and looking forward to this for all of that time. And now you lost your passport and you might not get to go. And that's all the things that are going through our minds. And as we're retracing, and we had a long layover, so that worked out as a great blessing. But we're retracing steps trying to find it. And somebody happened to look down into that crack between the elevator doors, where the doors open up and the elevator goes up and down as the doors close. There's a crack there. Her passport fell into the crack of the elevator doors. And how somebody thought to look down into the crack and saw a little piece of that passport was miraculous to me. But let me tell you, that is how sometimes people feel in their life. What do you mean? I mean, we feel like we've sort of fallen into the cracks. Like we don't have a lot of value. We don't have a lot of purpose in this life. When we wonder, we want to do, and we remember how we used to be able to do so much, and we want to continue to do as much as we used to be able to do when we were younger, but we physically can't do those things anymore. And we wonder, how much value can I even have in this life? How much purpose and worth is there even for me in this life? And that's where the discouragement can come from. As we see where we are in this phase or in this chapter, in this season of life. And we start to, the devil definitely wants you to feel this way. That you really don't have a lot of value. You're just in the cracks. And you're sort of lost there. There's not a lot of purpose. And if the devil can, watch this, if the devil can put this in your mind, then he'll make you into a grumpy, just a grumpy old guy or a grumpy old lady. Like the two people that I saw at Toyota dealership the other day who had to wait. They had to wait 5 minutes. I mean, how dare them take 5 minutes? But 5 minutes must have felt like an eternity to this couple, because let me tell you, once 5 minutes hit, they became grumpy. And like, I saw you standing in there and I saw you talking to your coworker and you were doing nothing and we were just standing out here for 5 minutes. And I think maybe that they were a little bit grumpy. Did you know that that can happen to us? Because we forget that God has put a value in us. And it might be this morning that you find that yourself in and out of that. You don't have to live there. You're not a relic. Did you know that you're not a relic? What is a relic? Well, my dad's 1977 Firebird, and it was sweet in its day, right? That thing could move. And now it's sitting on the side of the house, and it has no value. And the devil wants you to think that's you. He wants you to think that you have no value. And all you are is just a relic to sit on the side of the yard and yell at people who walk into your yard. As a grumpy old guy. But it's not true. You do have value. Do you know why? Because, as the light of physical life dims, did you know that God can make your light in you brighter?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That light doesn't have to dim.
No.
Because He lives in you.
Amen.
And He can make you, as you get older and the light of life dims, that the light of your spirit is brighter.
Amen.
And He can make you, watch, an example to that younger generation who needs to remember because it's so easy to forget. And we see these kids and we think, mercy, they're in a tough world, but you know what? There's a light in me that wants to help them to see, to commit and surrender. By the way, the word remember implies surrender. This is so cool. Just that first word of our passage, you should study just that word remember, remember the Creator, because it literally means to surrender to Him. And that's what our kids need to do. And you know what they're going to, you know who are going to be the greatest encouragements to them to surrender, to remember? That we remember. That we would be a light. That as our light dims, that we won't let the Spirit in us dim so that we become grumpy. No! That we remember God is in us. And He strengthens us. And He makes us into an example. That we remember we have not fallen into the cracks. But you can be a passport for somebody. A passport of great value. So that no matter how old you are, no matter how physically you feel dimmed, that if you're light brine shite, or if your light brine shines bright, yeah, whoa. I think you knew what I was trying to say right there. I'm glad I didn't say a bad word. Anyway, it would have been an accident, right? So, our light shines bright. Don't try to say that. I can't get it out. That God is making us into a passport for somebody. That you haven't fallen into the crack. That somebody's watching you. And as you are that example of a light that's shining for them, that you'll be able to stamp one after another into somebody's life to help them along, to remember their Creator, because you didn't forget your Creator. That you didn't let the devil tell you you're just a relic. You didn't let the devil tell you that you don't have any value and you're worthless. You just need to park yourself on the side of the road. The starter isn't working anymore. You know, you can't even chew your food very well anymore. You're tired all the time and you can't get it going. And the devil wants you to think that you don't have value. It's just not true. It's not true. Let God get that bright light going in you. And remember that you're not falling into the cracks. That you can be a source of value in a young person or anybody's life around you. By the way, if you are a person who understands some of the principles that Solomon is speaking of here, you know, there might be other folks that are going through what you're going through and they don't have the understanding that you have. That their bodies are failing too, but they're letting the light in them dim. That God can use you as a passport in their life. That you remember, oh, we're not falling into the cracks. And you need to go to somebody else around here or somebody who needs to be here, but they park themselves and they're not in church and they should be because they don't feel that they have enough value to even do anything in this life. And you can help them to know, oh, no, you have value. Don't give up. The devil wants you to think that, but there's great value if you let His light shine in you. Isn't that neat when we come back to verse number 2? And we see the sun and we see the moon and the stars that are natural light. But then the second one is just the light. That's God. Amen. No one condemned that light.
That's it.
Nothing condemned that light. The devil can't. God certainly won't. We just need to trust that God, you're not through with me yet. Woo, you're not through with me yet. And I'm just gonna shine for you. From the inside out. I'm telling you, I tease Brother Carlos. He's in his class right now, but I tease him because, you know, he said, Pastor, what do you think of my comb over? You know, he's completely bald, right? I'm like, yeah, I could see it shining whenever you came in. You know, he says, it's just my light. It's shining bright. I'm like, yeah, it is. That's what we all need that. I mean, we're not bald, but we need to let God shine that bright light in us. Let's let Him do it this morning. Father, we need You today. We went a little late. I pray Your grace in our life. I pray for our encouraged soul that You'd help us to see. We love You. We thank You for Jesus. It's in Your holy name we pray. Amen.